Welcome to the Haverford College Athletics Podcast. My name is Warren Croxton, Assistant Sports Information Director. This podcast was created for fans of Haverford College Athletics to get to know some of the great student athletes, coaches, and administrators in the athletic department. This episode of the podcast features field hockey player Elena Veal. Veal is the leading scorer for the field hockey team that qualified for the Centennial Conference playoffs. Haverford is the number 3 seed in the upcoming conference tournament and will take on the number 2 seeded and number 5 nationally ranked Ursinus College Bears tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. on the campus of Franklin and Marshall. Here in his interview, Veal talks about her time at Haverford, her love for Justin Bieber, and much more. Here's how the interview went. So, Elena, you guys have had a really nice year. You guys, earlier this year, won 6 in a row, clinched a playoff spot. What's this whole season been like for you guys?
Last year, not making the playoffs was definitely hard for us because we tried really hard, and there were a couple games we thought, okay, if we win this one, maybe we make it, and then we'd say, oh, maybe if we win the next one, we'll make it. And we ended up losing a couple really hard games by 1 or 2 points. So we had some pretty high hopes going into this season, and I think we executed well on that. We've been playing really hard. All the seniors have really stepped up for their final season, and it's been going really well. So,
you yourself had a really nice season this year. You led the team in goals and points, and it was a real jump from your freshman year. What was there something that you did in the off season that kind of helped you become the player that you are today?
I actually so coming in freshman year, it's a huge jump, as everyone knows, from high school to college sports. And it's mostly the game's just a lot faster, and I think that hit me pretty hard. And I got some time in there, but didn't do as well as maybe I'd hoped. And I actually got an injury. Mm-hmm. I got hit in the head pretty hard, and I was out for about 7 months starting in October. So during the off season in the spring, I didn't really get to play that much. But then this summer, I worked really hard to get back to where I was and just show the team that I was able to do it. And basically, just I worked as hard as I could just to show the team, like, to give back as much as they give to me. So in terms of points and stuff like that, I mean, the team's always behind me, like, supporting and doing what they can. And I think that, statistically speaking, I think that's pretty cool that a couple of us did pretty well with that. But coming back from an injury was really hard, but the team was super supportive, and the coaches and everybody, my family, and people really helped me get back into where I wanted to be.
Who were some of your major influences in field hockey when you were younger?
Carrie Lingo was the captain of the USA team. She's actually from Delaware, which is where I'm from, so it's a pretty small state. So we all kind of know each other in terms of field hockey. And I watched her play. I've met her a few times, have some signatures from when I was younger. And then, so I've always kind of looked up to her. In terms of just female athletes in general, Mia Hamm has always been pretty strong influence. Alex Morgan is pretty awesome on the USA soccer team. But Carrie Lingo actually sent me a field hockey stick in the middle of last season. She just, like, I got a stick in the mail, and I felt like Harry Potter, like, getting a broomstick, and I felt so cool. And, it was really cool to play with the stick that she sent me, so I still use that one now.
So did you play any other sports when you were younger, or was it just strictly field hockey?
I actually played a ton of sports growing up, including, I don't know if you count, like, karate and gymnastics and all that stuff, but I did swimming and tennis and, like, football and basketball and soccer and field hockey and lacrosse. And I almost played tackle football for my middle school. The coach came and recruited me at one of my flag football games, and he wanted me to play. And so they asked, like, the league and everything, and everyone said yes. And then the high school field hockey coach at the time came to me and sat me down and said, Elena, I think you're going to be a relatively good field hockey player. I have high hopes for you, so I don't want you playing football because I don't want you to get hurt. And I kind of looked at her like she was a little crazy. She'd been my gym teacher since I was 4, so I trusted her a lot. And I'd had one season of indoor field hockey, so I knew that it was a fun sport. I just never really played outdoor before, so I had no idea what to expect. And then I ended up not playing football, and then she coached me through high school, and now I'm at Haverford, which is pretty awesome. So who knows? I kind of regret not playing football, but maybe my time will come one day, and then I'll play tackle football with someone.
So you talked about, your high school coach, things like that. What
you know, when you're in high school and you're looking at schools, looking at colleges, what are some of the things that attract you to Haverford?
So I'm the second of three daughters, and my older sister, her college process was a lot different than mine because she didn't want to play a sport in college. So I was kind of the first one in my family to go through the recruiting process. So it was definitely challenging to do all the emails to the coaches and to go to all the tournaments and the showcases and send video and all this really tedious stuff. But in the end, I really focused on where I felt the most comfortable. I narrowed it down to Haverford and UPenn. And whenever I was at Haverford's campus, whether I was playing or touring or just hanging out with the team, I felt like I belonged here. I felt like it was a place that I could see myself studying and playing for the next 4 years. I went to a Quaker school for 14 years, so the honor code is something that definitely reflected on my high school, and I really love it a lot. I think it's a really important aspect of the college. Also, it has a really good balance between athletics and academics, and also social life. I think those are very important aspects of college, and without, I mean, obviously there are some people who don't play sports, but it was a part of my life, so without a proper balance of those three things, I think my college experience wouldn't be the same that it was today. And Haverford had the best balance, where like we don't have classes from 4 to 6, and we get to practice then, and then we spent a lot of time with the team, and just there was a ton of different aspects that I really loved about the college. And it's also beautiful, and it's close to home, so my parents can come to all my games, and that's always nice.
How do you balance your life as a student athlete?
Well, in high school, I played three varsity sports all through high school, but it was a really small school, so it's really not that impressive. So I'm used to playing a sport all the time, whereas, I mean, I knew it was going to be a lot more difficult in college because it's more intense, and, of course, academics is more intense, and everything is just a lot harder. But coming in playing a sport initially, I think really helped me because I had a set schedule, whereas I came in, and then every day I would go to classes, then go to practice, have dinner, and then do my work. And then in the off season, I was able to manage my time because I'm already used to managing my time in the fall. So I think coming in with that schedule really helped me. Some people think that we have so much less time to do work, which is true, because there's a lot of things we do between like lift and practice and games and like film and all that kind of stuff that we do. We have less time than maybe a non-athlete does to have to do work. But if you manage it well, it's definitely not the... I mean, it's definitely a manageable thing to do as long as you know how to use your time productively. Because sometimes I felt in the off season, even when I had like 4 hours to do work, the first 2 hours I just did nothing because I knew I had 4 hours to do it. Whereas if I only have an hour and a half or 2 hours to do my homework that night, I just sit down and I do it. Whereas I just would goof off a little bit.
You know, it's funny. Almost every single athlete I've interviewed has said they are a better student in season than they are out of season. And that's the exact reason why.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to hear so many different people, you know, come to the same conclusion. Has there been a moment academically since you've been at the school that has stood out above the rest? Maybe it's a good grade on a test or interaction with a teacher?
Yeah, so I took an econ class my first semester here. That was a mistake. Not because econ's a bad class or anything, just because it's not my strength in life.
And time-consuming, too, to take.
Yeah, it was an intro to econ class, so I didn't think it would be super hard, but I'm not really a math-type person, and my dad was an econ major, so I kind of felt like I should just try it and see what happened, and it really didn't go that well at first. And then the professor, she emailed me, and she was like, Elena, like, I can see you're trying really hard. You participate in class and all this stuff. And she was like, maybe we should meet once a week and go over, like, your exams and your problem sets and just what we're doing in class. And so I met with her every week, and my grade, like, jumped up. And I started to actually understand what we were doing in class. And I was able to do the problem sets, which, you know, was helpful. So I think that just highlights how special of a place Haverford is. I mean, the professors really want you to succeed. And I was given the opportunity to meet with her. Although there are a ton of student tutors and stuff, it was really special to be able to actually meet one-on-one with the professor once a week. Because she kind of, like, put in the time and the effort to make sure that I was successful.
Are you involved with anything else on campus?
So I work a lot of the athletic games. I go to most, I was, well, my school superlative in senior year was most spirited. So I was the mascot at homecoming. I went to all the games with the pom-poms. I actually got to wear the black squirrel suit here last spring, which was pretty exciting. And so I love to go to games. I love to support the other teams. So working the games really, you benefit because you're getting paid to do it and you're involved as well as getting to support your fellow athletes. And I also do phone-a-thon, which is a job. It's for the annual fund. We call alumni and parents, and we basically, we update, like, contact information and then ultimately ask for a donation to the annual fund, which is, I think, a really important job because I'm possibly interested in marketing or sales. So being able to ask someone for something that you want and being able to be denied that and or have them agree to give money, I think is a really important experience to have, especially at a young age. So all the students who are participating in this, I think it's a really beneficial experience. And it's hard. It definitely is hard, but I think I'm learning a lot about people. And yeah.
So do you have any type of game plan for, you know, what you want to do in terms of maybe internships or maybe a major?
I think I'm leaning towards being an English major. I want to go to business school after I graduate. I'm probably going to work for a few years and then go because that's what everyone tells me to do. But I've had a couple internships that are really interesting. I worked for a woman last summer who was writing a book, and I did a bunch of, I did the citations, and I did some research for her and different little tasks that she needed. I'm probably going to get a job this summer in marketing. I have a couple options that I have to apply for, and that'll be really interesting. I do a lot of volunteer work also. I work, last summer I worked at the women's prison in Delaware, and I tutored in math, which, as you know, my econ experience didn't go that well, but I was able to help tutor in math because the, it was more basic math, mm-hmm. depending on which level the women were trying to get their, either their GEDs or like a middle school graduation. So that was a really eye-opening experience as well.
Yeah, what's that? What's that whole experience like?
Well, it was super. I had visited once with my mom because she's involved with that with her job, and seeing these women and interacting with them and like the inmates and stuff was really hard because, I mean, at first I was kind of scared because it's like, okay, some of these people have, like, killed people or, like, done some really bad stuff. But then you learn that a lot of them, like, especially if they've been there for a while, like, most of them, like, these women have, like, big hearts. And, like, they're trying really hard. And they're, especially the ones who are studying, they're studying. There's some who work in the kitchen. There's a garden. There's a hairdress. There's a hairdress shop that some of them work in. And it was just so interesting to see how well these women are doing. Although, I mean, being in prison is not easy, obviously. Right. Mm-hmm. But they, most of them have their heads screwed on straight, and they're definitely, they were so happy that I was there. They asked if I was doing this for, like, service hours. And I was like, no, like, I just, I'm really interested in helping out and kind of just opening my eyes to something different and giving back to the community. And they were just so blown away by that. And they told me how inspired they were by me, and that just, it made me feel so good. So in a selfish way, like, I guess I was helping them, but it was also helping me because I just, like, raised up, like, 10 levels, and I just felt so good, so.
Wow, that's a really cool story.
Yeah.
This isn't an easy transition going from a super serious story to a fun part of the interview, but I'm going to try and do it. So this part of the interview is just going to be some quick rapid-fire questions that
okay.
you just, give me the first thing that pops into your head.
Oh, no. Okay.
Okay, so your favorite sports team growing up?
Boston Red Sox.
Your favorite movie?
Kicking and Screaming.
Okay. Favorite book?
Favorite book, Macbeth. It's a play, but...
Right. But I thought you were going to go Harry Potter, you know, since you mentioned him earlier.
Oh, that's true. And I actually only saw the movies.
Oh, okay.
I was that kid who only saw the movies, I know.
Favorite food?
Spaghetti.
Favorite vacation spot?
We used to go to this ranch in Montana, and it was beautiful. So that's my favorite.
Wow, Montana. That's like,
yeah,
that's,
we used to go to this
pretty
ranch.
Far from Delaware. How does one end up in Montana?
My parents actually saw this random, ranch in a magazine, and we went when I was one at first, and we ended up going 11 years, to the same spot, and we'd see the same families there, and there were only like 10 families, and we'd ride horses and hike, and there was no cell phone service, so going there doing middle school and like early high school was really interesting because you just kind of got away from the world, and I really enjoyed that. I think another, in terms of like vacation spots, it wasn't as much of a vacation as in like relaxing, but I was given the opportunity to go with my family to the Galapagos Islands, which was awesome. I was about 13, 14, so I definitely would probably appreciate it more now, but seeing these different animals and wildlife and like plants and things that are just exist there in the world, and it's just such a different place than it is here, I think that was definitely eye-opening.
Wow. Who was your favorite superhero or cartoon growing up?
SpongeBob.
Okay. What is the most played song in your iTunes playlist?
Something by Justin Bieber.
Okay.
Probably his new one, Sorry. I really like that one. But there's a ton. And his album comes out November 13th, and that's really exciting.
Okay, so you're a believer. I get it.
Since day one.
Okay. Share a personal fact that no one would ever guess about you.
I'm very sensitive.
Okay. So now these questions, a little bit more deep thinking. What do you consider your greatest achievement?
Getting into Haverford College.
Are you a morning or night person?
Honestly, probably more of a morning person, because I go to bed really early, like 10, which is pretty early for college. Unless I have a ton of work, then I obviously stay up and do it.
What is your biggest pet peeve?
When people start to tell a story and then realize that they can't tell you that story, or that it's like a secret. So they're like, oh, I have to tell you something. And then you're like, oh, what is it? And they're like, oh, I can't tell you. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Which teammate would you most want to be stuck on a deserted island with?
I need to think about this one.
That's fine. You can either pick a person who you get along with the most, or someone that you think would be the most practical to have with when you're on a deserted island, who would help you get off the deserted island. There's a bunch of different ways you can take this.
I think I'm going to pick Sydney Cohn, because I don't even know why. I was torn between her and someone else, but I think we'd get off that island, and while we were on that island, we would have a lot of fun. So, that's who I would pick. She's kind of like an older sister to me, so cool. It's really nice. Yeah.
Now, if you could bring three things with you on that deserted island, what would they be and why? Remember, there's no electricity.
Okay. A Brita to clean the water, or like some sort of intense water purifier so I could... Is that the right word? So that I can clean the water to drink. There's no electricity, so I won't bring my iPod to listen to Justin Bieber. I'd bring probably some sort of ball to play with. It doesn't have to be a field hockey ball or stick, but some sort of ball I can like throw back and forth, because I can occupy myself with a ball for like 2 hours if I needed to. And then something to hunt with. Although I'm not a very violent person, if I needed to take down a deer or something, I think I would. So, not that there are deer on islands, but if there were, I would take them down.
If you could have three wishes from a genie, what would they be? And no, you cannot wish for more wishes, and you cannot wish for a genie to grant you more wishes.
Ah. I've actually thought about this before. And
really?
I really have. Because this episode of... Fairly Odd Parents, when I was younger, there was a genie, and he, like, asks for an omelet, but then the omelet doesn't come on a plate, and it just falls to the ground, and it's like, wow, that kind of stinks. But I would ask for the superpower to be able to be always correct. So I could say, wow, I have 10 more wishes, and then I would have 10 more wishes. But that's, I would wish for... That some sort of superpower, because...
What about your other wishes?
Okay, so I have two more wishes. So I would definitely ask for something in terms of my family. We're the typical Italian family. We're very loud. We eat a lot of food. And we all have very big personalities, so we don't always get along. But when we do, it's almost scary because we're getting along so well. But I would ask for something. I would ask for, like, good health, probably, for my family. We've been pretty lucky with that so far, so I want to continue with that. And then also I'd probably ask, this is going to sound awful, but I'd probably ask for, like, a lot of money. Because, like, not just necessarily money for myself, but I think if you had, like, unlimited amount of money, you could give it to, I mean, unlimited is a little excessive, but I could not only use it for, like, myself or in, like, my kids' educations and stuff like that, but also, like, I could donate it to different charities or start different fundraising events and stuff like that. Because I think that, I mean, there's definitely a lot of money in this world, and it doesn't always fall into the right hands, so that's a whole nother topic, but we don't have to talk about that now.
As a child, what did you wish you wanted to become when you grew up?
I wanted to become an astronaut. And I actually, in fifth grade, we did a POL, which is a project of learning, or a presentation of learning, I'm not sure which one. And I did it on astronaut training, because I really wanted to be an astronaut. And then I found out you have to do, like, 10 years of training, like, minimum, of all this really intense stuff, and, like, a lot of school, and a lot of, just a lot of training, and the chances of even going into space are very slim, so that dream kind of died after fifth grade. And then I wanted to be a professional athlete, so I'd consider Haverford College pretty professional, so I think I've accomplished my goal.
There you go, that's fantastic. If you could be any TV or movie character, who would it be and why?
Okay, I would be Hannah Montana, because I've always wanted to be able to sing. Singing and dancing are two skills that I definitely do not have.
Okay.
Not saying I have a ton of skills, but I'm just saying I definitely don't have those. And I think it's really cool. This is getting a little, like, deep for a Disney show, but she could kind of be Hannah, and then she could also be Miley, so I could have, like, my double life, best of both worlds, I should say. And, like, I could live my normal life, then also be, like, a pop star, which is also another goal of mine after I'm done here at Haverford.
Really?
Yeah, maybe okay. Take some singing lessons or something.
Okay. Considering we're in the month of Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is this month, what are you most thankful for?
I'm thankful for the opportunity to
be on this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. To be sitting right here in this desk with all these bobbleheads. I'm really thankful that I was given the opportunity to go to Haverford. I know there's a ton of students who work really hard and maybe just aren't given the same opportunities. And I know my parents worked really hard to get me here, and I worked really hard in high school, and I know in terms of field hockey and school, it was definitely a challenge, but this is definitely my biggest accomplishment, and I'm also very thankful for this college and everything it's done for me.
Finish this statement. I can't believe I once...
Oh, I can't believe I once won a dance contest.
Which is impressive because you
Which is impressive like... because I don't dance.
Okay, fair enough.
Yes, because I won it when I was, like, 12, and at that point it was, like, almost acceptable to be, like, cute-ish and, like, still bad at dancing, and then you kind of grow older and it's not so cute anymore. But, yeah, I won a dance contest, and I won $50, so...
There you go.
Yeah.
What is the secret to having a good life?
I think the secret to having a good life is having reasonable goals and being able to achieve them. Having too high of expectations can be devastating, and having too low of expectations can also be. So I think if you set realistic goals that also challenge yourself, and then you reach them one by one, you're going to be happy. Also, I've learned that by making other people happy, it really benefits me. So if you can help out other people, in the end, it'll help out yourself, but also make sure to take care of yourself, and sometimes it's important to put yourself in front of others. So I think the key to having a successful life is just, and also doing what you want in life. So don't let anyone else tell you what you should be doing.
What is the hardest thing you've ever done?
Besides this podcast.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. And besides the econ class.
Right.
The hardest thing I've ever done is probably saying, like, goodbye to my parents, like, when going to college. Because I think that even though I'm only 45 minutes away, and I said, see you in 2 weeks at my first game, I knew that it was kind of like a part of me that would never be the same. I mean, I was growing up, and I'm still growing up, obviously. And I knew that I wasn't, like, necessarily their little girl anymore. So that was really hard for me to kind of accept the fact that I am going to college and I have to grow up eventually, and that maybe I'm not going to be an astronaut, but I'll be something. And that was definitely really challenging, but I'm really fortunate to have a great support system, and it's been going really well. So,
yeah.
My mom loves to cook and I love to eat. So we have a pretty good relationship there, and all my friends love to eat. And so a lot of my friends come home for dinner every once in a while, and we'll have like a big Sunday night dinner or something like that. And it's really nice to be able, especially for my friends who are pretty far away.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have a home to go to.
Yeah. And then you'd be surprised. Your parents will never admit this, but when you leave for the first time, that's the toughest part for them is when you leave.
I'm the favorite child, I think. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, all the family friends tell me that I'm the favorite, but I'm not supposed to say that, but it's true. Maybe not my parents' favorite, but the family friends, at least. So.
Okay.
Sorry, Simone and Olivia, if you're listening to this.
If you woke up tomorrow as an animal, what animal would you be?
What animal would I be, or would I want to be?
Would you be?
Okay, this is not the right answer it is the right answer, but it's not the answer I would want someone to call me. But I'd probably be some sort of monkey. Because, like, I don't know. Whenever you're at the zoo, I guess I go to the zoo more than the average person, but the monkeys are always having, like, a lot of fun. And, like, they're, like, playing everywhere, and they're kind of, like, not taking life too seriously, but also, like, there's a really important aspect of family when they're, like, picking the bugs out of each other's hair and stuff like that. And then I can also do a pretty good monkey call, which I don't have to do for this podcast, I can do it another time.
Okay.
They're pretty annoying also, I guess, but they're so cute too. Not saying I'm cute, I'm just saying that. Never mind. Anyway, yeah, a monkey because they're just kind of fun and enjoy life.
If you could wake up tomorrow and you could pick what animal you want to be, what animal would you want to be?
I would want to be my own dog, because Lola is her name.
Okay.
She's a Portuguese water dog, very cute, white paws, it's adorable. And I think she just has, like, so much fun, and, like, we spoil her to the nth degree, and, like, she gets whatever food she wants, and, of course, I feed her under the table, even though my mom says not to, and she's gonna get mad at me now, but I still do it. And I think she really just enjoys life, and she has a lot of dogs in the neighborhood she plays with, and it's kind of like a carefree kind of life, so I think that'd be fun for like a week or so.
If you could make a slogan for your life, what would it be?
Be yourself and love it.
If you could bring back one thing from your childhood, what would it be?
Naps every day.
What are you talking about? You're in college. That's like all college students should be taking naps.
That's so true, because I actually take a nap almost every day, and this is actually my nap time right now.
I'm sorry.
Which is okay that I'm not taking it, because I have a good amount of energy right now, but I honestly love taking naps. I'm very good at it. It's one of my skills in life. I told you about my other skills, and this is one of them.
Yeah, that's like a standard for every college student.
Okay, so I'll think of something else. If I could bring back one thing from childhood, definitely, I don't want to get into like body image, but definitely being able to eat as much as I wanted. Like, I would, on the reg, just sit down and eat a family-sized bag of chips, which anyone on my team who's listening to this is going to say that I still do that now, which might be true, might not be true. But I definitely, like, I remember when I was 4, we would have pizza day on Wednesdays and cheesesteak day on Fridays, and I would have 3 pieces of pizza on Wednesdays and 2 cheesesteaks on Tuesdays.
Two?
I mean, on Fridays. Yeah, 2. And I would, like, line them up, and they were, like, past my hip. That's how small I was, and I would eat both of them every Friday. But, yeah, no, being able to eat whatever, and that was always really fun.
Speaking of being able to eat whatever you want, you're going to a dinner, and at the table you can invite 3 people past or present. Who would they be and why?
One would be my mom, because she's my rock. And she's really funny, and we are pretty funny together. So I think whoever the other 2 people are, they'd be really entertained by us. And that's important. We love to entertain the people. I'd probably pick...
Now, here's a better question. Would you want your mother to be at the dinner table, or would you rather have your mother cooking the dinner?
Both.
Okay, fair enough.
Both. I'm trying to think of someone who is... I have a lot of favorite authors.
What about Bieber?
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about him.
Hello, yeah.
Okay, because I was thinking about dead people. Okay, yeah, obviously Justin Bieber. So I've got my mom, I've got Justin Bieber, and then probably Machiavelli. And I know that's, like, kind of random, but I think we would just have the most interesting conversations, and although I don't necessarily agree with a lot of it, I think it'd be a pretty heated dinner table, and I love having heated dinner conversations. So.
Especially with Bieber there.
Especially with Bieber, because he'll have no idea what's going on. Just kidding, if you're listening to this, I still love you.
Okay, so you're walking through the dining center one day and accidentally bump into the high school version of yourself, checking out the campus for the very first time. What advice would you give to yourself?
I would tell myself to relax. This is what I tell all the prospective students. Just relax and enjoy high school and obviously try your best and apply to colleges, but you'll definitely end up where you're supposed to. And also to listen to your parents because they probably know what they're talking about. Even though I shouldn't have admitted that, but it's true.
Same type of question. You're walking down the street one day and accidentally bump into yourself 10 years into the future. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
So I'm 19 now, okay. So I'd be 29. Well, I'm not sure at what age I want to be married, but I definitely plan on having a family with, like, 3 or 4 kids. I want to have a steady job somewhere that I'm definitely happy going to work every day. Also, successful in my own, with my own definition of just being happy and being able to support my family on my own, and then also with whoever I'm married to. And then I also will have been to at least 3 Justin Bieber concerts by that point. I've only been to 1 now, so
whoa.
It's pretty weak, I know. But he stopped touring for a while, so I'll catch him this time around in Philly.
Okay.
Thanks to Elena for coming onto the podcast. Please subscribe, download, listen, and rate the podcast on iTunes or Podomatic. Let us know who do you think we should interview next. Thanks for listening, and go Fords!